What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny podcast. Out of all the podcasts we have at Kinda Funny, probably the show that I have hosted least. So I'm very excited to get into it today with the crew that I was saying before this went live. I'm pretty sure this crew has never done a KF podcast together. I might be wrong about that, but I think this might be a first. And that crew, of course, includes Texas Street Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the Globetrotting Headshotting Nitro Rifle from Twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Fucking crushed it.
I almost lost it. Where'd the Nitro Rifle go? I don't know. I need a little bit more of a pause. You know what I
Absolutely
mean?
Absolutely crush it. You crush it, Tim. Mike, so great to see Mike. Like, Joey, no offense to you. I miss Mike, man. I missed Mike a lot. Dude. No Damn. Offense to you, Joe.
Damn, sorry, well, Joe. Sorry, Joe. Yeah.
You want me to get out of here? You guys just want to do that?
Yeah, just the two of you. I guess I don't know. Shit. We have, of course, we're joined by it's Christmas in June, Joey Noel.
I guess I'm here.
Yeah, shade out the gate. And rounding out the crew for today, it's the master of hype, Snowbike Mike.
Joey, it's so great to see you, but like I missed Andy. You know what I mean? Like we just haven't been together.
Okay, this is the
it's our fun episode. Marg night. So like I've just been missing the fun with my guy over there, but you know, I'm back home in the hoe, and hopefully me and Andy can reconnect, play some video games together. Because we miss that bromance. That's all. Yeah. We're missing it.
It's late at night, and I open up the Discord, and nobody's there. And I'm like, that's right. They're all in the hoe right now. Oh. And I log on, and then JD says, what's up? And I'm like, JD, you back or what? He's like, nah, man, I'm still in the hoe. And it's just, I just missed it. I missed the connection. I'm jealous that you all had so much fun. You did offer, you know, Andy, come drive up here, man. But it's like, you know, I was really busy over the weekend.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big weekend plans with the AMC team is right.
Let me, this is no exaggeration. I wish I had the exact stats. I wish I was tracking my sleep. But sleep debt. I mean, there's a lot of sleep debt being taken care of.
Yeah.
Being going into the black, right? Getting out of the red. Because this weekend was, I don't know the exact stats, but it wouldn't be too far-fetched for me to say that I was asleep more than I was awake.
Good for you.
Over the weekend. Yeah.
Dude, like, I'm pretty excited for you overall.
It was nap after nap, a couple episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, take another nap, a couple of episodes of Curb, take another nap. And it was non-freaking stop to the point where, like, I feel despicable. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not proud of this in any way, but I do feel more energized on this Monday, having slept a lot over the weekend, getting some good workouts in, Mike. Watching people play hoops, like, not playing hoops, but just watching them kind of re-energized me. Mean? Yeah, I'm feeling better now.
Mike, you had your hand raised?
Oh, no, I was just saying true that, you know what I mean? I was feeling it, right? You
just true, feel sure. it.
When your homie's telling you about just a good weekend, you're like, I feel that's my core. Because, like, I know Andy. He'll go into the red, right? He'll dip into the red. He'll owe those hours.
Sleep that,
sleep, and he needs it back, right? And, like, I need Andy at 110% all the time. I demand that of him. I ask it of him. And so, like, when I know he's back in the black, that means when I'm going to go to work. You know what I mean, Tim? Like, I'm looking into the future. I'm like, looks like maybe some neon white speed runs with him. Maybe I jump over and play Returnal with him. Like, how do I get the most out of my boy Andy, who's fueled up and ready to go? The gas is in the tank.
That's a good call. See, yeah. I like that. I like that Mike's looking at this as a business opportunity. He's like, how do I maximize Andy's efforts? Like, we got a hot, young, nubile Andy Cortez off the streets here, fresh out the debt, you know what I mean, of the sleep. So I'm right there with you, Andy. Like, I've had a very rough couple weeks. A lot of work to do. I had a lot of late nights, and I have not been sleeping well at all. Add on Summer Game Fest LA last week. I didn't sleep at all there, right? What am I talking about? We talked about on the KF podcast last week how I haven't been able to sleep past 7 a.m. and it's been this whole thing for me.
Tragic.
I am very excited to tell you guys that I fell asleep at 8 p.m. on Saturday night. 8 p.m. and I did not wake up until noon.
Yeah. Oh,
wow, that's a lot.
Normally after that, you wake up and you're like, I feel like shit. Like it was the too most much. Rejuvenated
Way
I've been
yeah.
ever. It felt so good, you guys. And now I'm back. I'm a spring chicken. I'm ready to fucking go. Man. Now, Joey, to throw some positivity your way, I miss you. I feel like I haven't hung out with you in forever.
I know. It's just ships passing in the night, random text messages about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes when Diesel posts.
That's pretty much it.
I know, but no real hangs. Yeah. I haven't seen Moose and Toretto in forever. Because, like, mm-hmm. we've gone out with Gia and stuff like that. Like, the girls have gone out, but
yeah,
we haven't hung out in a long time.
You'll have to come over soon. See them. See what's up. It's going to be a great time. They've been hanging. They've been chilling. But you know what, guys? This is the Kind of Funny podcast where each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather around these microphones to hang out, bullshit, and do all that type of stuff. If you like that, you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com to get it as a video. But if you'd rather get it as a podcast the way God intended, you got to go to your favorite podcast service and search for Kind of Funny Podcast, and we'll be right there for you. If you want to get the show ad-free, if you want to watch live as we record it, and guess what? If you want the exclusive post show, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like Anonymous, Nathan Lamoth, Delaney Twinning, Pargot Got Married, June 10th Singh, Gordon McGuire, and Fargo Brady have done. Again, the one show I'm not used to doing. So there's some names here I'm like, I've never said that one before. So that's kind of fun. Anyway, shout out to all you Patreon producers. You make the world go round. Andy Cortez. What is
your I know this is not the Kind of Funny Games cast, which is what we do on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Mike mentioned that we need to get back to Returnal. Mike, we can't get back to Returnal until my controller arrives. I ordered a brand new controller. Why isn't it's not showing up on the screen? It's just not showing up. I'd love for it to show up here on the screen, and it's not going to do that, which is
You can send me a screenshot, Andy, and I can just pull it up from there.
Here we go.
Ooh.
That is some Andy Cortez moneymaker. Yeah.
So as some of y'all may know, I bought a SCUF controller.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those I woke up really early for to make sure that I was there in time for the pre-order. Unfortunately, all the colors that I would have preferred were gone. They just had the red. They had no customization. It was just, all right, get the black, get the dark gray or the red. And the red was the only one available. The dark gray and black were gone. I was like, all right, I'll get the red. So I got the red, you know, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'll stick with it and I'll play it. It'll be my PS5 controller of choice. And then they do that thing where, like, you get the iPhone and the new iPhone comes out a couple weeks later. A couple of weeks later, they're like, hey, guess what? You can customize the SCUF now. I'm like, God damn it, dude. I wish I just would have waited. Now, granted, a good amount more expensive. I probably, spent like 2 months worth of rent on this. but I was able to build it and pre-order it. And I sold my own one to Blessing, which is great. I was like, Bless, how about I sell you at a discount? You know, you're getting a really good controller. It's got maybe 3 hours of usage on it. I haven't touched it a whole lot. So I sold him the old one. I used that money to put towards this newer controller. But unfortunately, it's one of these that's getting built. So it's like it takes a while. It takes way longer to get here. The other one got here in about 4 days. This one, it's been cooking over there, and I think in Taiwan. So I'm hoping it gets here pretty soon. But yeah, I'm so glad that I was able to customize. It's just so hot. It's hot.
I appreciate that. I have a very similar but different story, Andy, and it doesn't end well. I'm just going to start that off. It ends in a very bad place, and that bad place involved this man right here, Tim Geddes, having to do physical labor. So everyone strap in for a very, very sad ending story. About 8-9 months ago, Gia and I finally ordered a couch for our living room. We've been having this dumb little love seat for the last, like, forever. It's like, we're time to get an adult couch, right? Getting a couch is a whole experience, y'all. If you've never done this, it is. You got to go to a bunch of stores. You got to sit in a bunch of things. You got to, like, look at price tags and go, I am not doing that. And then they point you to the other area. And you're like, okay, I guess we're going to look over here. You got to sit on all those. You eventually find one you want. Then you start measuring it out. You're like, I think it's going to fit. This should probably fit. Anyways, we found one that we're like, oh, yeah, this is stretching it, but it's going to fit. It's going to be fine. It's going to be great. It's in our price range. It was actually a third of the price of a lot of the ones we were looking at. So I was like, okay, we're working with something here. My wallet's going to be pretty happy with me. We put in the order for it. It was like, I want to say it was like last September or something. And they're
like, is it a cool two-seater, three-seater, four-seater, seven-seater?
It was a three-seater, just a three-seater. Don't got much room. My living room, like, especially where the couch could go, don't have that much space. So I was looking at like a, I think it was a 90-inch couch.
Is there any room for Toretto and Moose to go underneath?
No, no. We had to. They love doing
so
that.
So sad.
I know. But it was a concession we had to make with this couch. But I mean, hey, we might be back to ground zero here. Okay. So here's the situation. We ordered this thing in like September, and as we've all talked about in different ways before, this whole being an adult thing, it is nowhere near as much fun as
Super
because you order this couch. I thought the hard part was picking out the couch and paying for the couch. Turns out those are the two simplest steps, because I ordered this thing and they're like, it's not going to be there till January. And I'm like, damn, really? Like a couple months to get this freaking couch? But I whatever. I don't need to worry about it anymore. Well, guess what?
Wait, January. Holy shit.
You said you ordered this in September?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I would be like, what? No, you got to call up everybody you've ever known.
They shipping this from Mars? What's going on here?
They make them and then they ship up. It's this whole, the big couch corporate got us by the balls, all right? I don't really understand what's going on, but it's ridiculous. And this is just normal. This is just how couches work, apparently.
Really? Like even like pre-pandemic and like all this stuff?
No. I'm sure the pandemic makes it worse. No, but yeah. Yeah, if you're going to a furniture shop, yeah, you better hope to hell that the exact model you want is in stock at that moment, or else you're not getting it for 6 months. That's just that's just normal. So January comes along and they're like, no way. We'll see you in May. And we're like, what the hell? We paid for this damn couch in September, but hey, it is what it is. Anyway, June comes along. Beginning of June, they're like, first week of June, it's gonna be here. We're gonna deliver this thing. And they finally come. It's time to get it in here. And my worry was, there's no way they're gonna get this thing up the stairs. We got some tight little stairs to get up. Like, how the fuck are they gonna do this? But they're like, we're movers, we got this, don't worry. They get it up the stairs. And I'm like, oh, we are golden.
A tight fit. Yeah.
That's an insane fit.
Yeah, it was tight, but they got it up, and I'm like, okay, here we go. Did not expect for it to make it up the stairs, get caught at the top of my stairs, not able to go into any door to get into the living room. There's this little landing at the top of my stairs that has a lot of doors around it. There's a bathroom, the bedroom, the kitchen, the living room. It's like kind of like a spider web. Like it's this little area is like the spider's body compared to the doors or the webs going out to a bunch of places.
It's like one of the first decision-making points in an RPG. Like this branches out of many different paths. Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, the hard part was getting it up here. They'll figure this out. Well, flash forward 2.5 hours. These poor dudes trying their best, any angle to get it through. I'm there helping, like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I guess the couch is on me now. Cool. And we're just trying. And it's becoming clear there's no way to get it through. The guy looks at me and goes, we got it up the stairs, man. I want to try everything I can to get it in. It's up to you. But are you down to take the doors off? I'm like, where's Kevin? Like, I hate that.
You're talking about the gate, right? The little gate?
No. But we had to take the gate off.
I'm talking about
every single door.
Holy shit.
At the top of the stairs, which there's a comical amount of doors that I never realized until this moment.
Yeah.
But I had to take off my bathroom door, the other random door, my bedroom door. I'm unscrewing like a madman as they're just trying to get
this couch.
I mean, it's just a couch. It's just a long couch. It was just long. It was just very long. And it's not flexible. It's like, it's just a big
old Friends episode. You got to pivot.
We pivoted so much. I took all these doors off. It didn't help at all. Didn't help at all. There was another hour of them trying their best. At some point, the guy goes, I am so sorry. We have to leave. And they just took it. I just look out the window and I just see him putting the couch that I waited almost a year for so at this sad. Point into this fucking truck. And they just drive away. And I'm just like, Gia comes home from work. There was like one of the days she went to the office and she goes, where the fuck's the couch? And I'm like, they just took it. They just, it's after gone. All of this, they just took it.
There's nothing we could do about it.
So hopefully your scuff situation turns out better than this, Andy. But now it ended up that they're like, hey, we're going to come back with just a smaller version of the same couch. And supposedly next week they're going to be here. I'll fucking believe it when I see it. But I'm also like, I didn't buy a smaller version of this couch. I don't know that I'm going to want a smaller version of this couch when you fucking get it in here.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Have to get another now,
by smaller, are we talking like going from a 3-seater to a 2-seater?
Unfortunately.
Or is it just a frame kind of?
Andy, what I think we're going is from a debatably 4-seater to a 3-seater.
Mm.
But here's the bigger problem, which isn't bad. I think that's totally okay. But my problem is, We're going from a Tim can lay down on this to a Tim can't lay down on this.
Oh,
you don't want that. You don't want
and
that.
I'm really sad about all that. But again, that's couch what stories. If,
okay, here. Okay.
Can you hoist it over your patio, like up over the patio?
Yeah, up on the patio. Yeah, yeah.
Well, so here's the problem.
Launch it up there.
Uh-huh. We can't. That would be crazy, but we could. Yeah. But that does not solve the problem.
Is it not just like a straight shot?
It's slightly angled, which is what caused the problem.
Spider web.
Yeah, man. The spider web. Spider will get you. Spider will get you, man.
You know what, Tim? Talking about couches. Oh, go, Andy. Go really quick.
Well, I was just going to mention, like, I think Kevin's ingenuity would really come in handy right now because I think he would suggest many different solutions.
Yes, he would.
And immediately I'm thinking double decker, three seater couch.
Mm hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, why get a four seater if you could do a double decker three seater? You have you
bunk couch.
The people up top get a better view of the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They get a better view of the ceiling.
Yeah,
the top shelves of the bookshelf.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
You know, Timmy, talk about couches and manual labor. I was actually right there with you. As Andy and Joey know, last week I had my couch delivered right before I went to SF, and I had a similar situation where it was like, ordered it from Big Lots, saved me a ton of money. Shout out to Washburn. I was going to buy a $3,000 couch. He said, hold up, wait a minute. What if we bought a much cheaper couch?
And
I said,
yeah, good call. Good call.
Right. And so Big Lots said, oh, we'll deliver it 6 to 8 weeks. And I said, sir, Carson City is right down the hill. This should be here tomorrow, right? I got lucky. It took about 4 weeks to get here. Guys came in, no problem. Perfect. Handoff, easy for me. But when you talk about manual labor, I had a good one. The boys came back with me from San Fran up to Tahoe, and day one, I sat Washburn down and said, hey, I got a new coffee table. You want to build it with me? And next thing you know, after a full week of them walking around, being in the sun in San Fran, having a great vacation, I got Washburn building an IKEA coffee table down in my living room.
Suckers.
JD
How did
is
you
upstairs.
Not stream this?
It's probably a good call, Joe. I didn't think of that. JD is now upstairs in my game room, completely redoing it. Moving tables, putting up lights, putting up different cameras. And so I put those boys to work the moment they stepped in. And then last night, right before they left, I was like, you know what else we got to do? We got to paint some walls, boys. So grab a paintbrush. We're painting. And so every time they've come to visit, I've made them do some sort of manual labor every time they come.
Every time. Whenever friends are there, when Kevin A. Sex went over one time, suddenly Mike's lighting in his stream room looks all different and the PC's now connected to this monitor and shit. Like, but it makes sense because when Mike is alone trying to do these things, it's a fucking disaster.
Right down.
Like, we were trying to connect his monitor for the longest time because he finally got like a high refresh rate monitor. And the whole time, it's like, wow, like, it's only getting 60 frames, guys. I don't know what to tell you. It's just getting 60 frames. Like, what? That's weird. And he's like, oh, I'm supposed to plug it into the graphics card, right? And we're like, oh, Mike. Like, I fucking. So, like, it makes sense why you would kind of put them to work. Now, what are you paying them with? Pizza?
Chicken nuggets was our dish of choice. Now, I will tell you, Andy, we went to the same restaurant 5 times. Out of the probably 6 days they were here, and we ate nothing but chicken nuggets from this place.
Nice.
And when I say chicken nuggets, I mean, like, Tim, they showed up at McDuff's up in Tahoe. They have a portion control problem. McDuff's is what it's called. And now McDuff's portion control problem, where you think to yourself, man, I can't wait to have a burger.
Is that
just
not your nickname for McDonald's?
No, that's what they thought, too. That's what they thought. And you think to yourself, oh, I want, like, some sort of meal. It is, like, 3 meals in 1. So when we ordered nuggets, it's like a gigantic platter of probably 40 to 50 nuggets. And we probably finished the week with 10 orders of chicken nuggets to the point where people recognized us when we would show back up. Washburn doesn't want to talk about nuggets ever again because he feels sick now. But they're just so good. They're just so good.
I really need to try these out because I don't know what sort of level we're talking. Like,
we're talking, think Chick-fil-A nuggets. With, like, the kind of nugget and breading there. But think a little more beer-battered, hand-breaded with Special K cereal. Like, the cornflakes are wrapped around it. And they are phenomenal. You get a whole platter of different sauces. There's one sauce, Andy, called the nitro sauce. That shit will ruin your life. Okay? Like, I touched it just touched it like that. And it was so hot that it lingers for like the rest of the day.
Are you a spicy guy though, Mike?
No, no, not at all. No, no, no.
No spice.
No, I hate spice.
Joe, how are you when it comes to spice, Joe?
I like it. My body does not handle it well. So I'm the girl that's like, this is so good, but I'm crying.
Gotcha. Okay.
I'm a spicy boy. I want everything to be spicy by default, but I'm right there with Joe where there is a line that I cross and I'm like, why did I do that to myself? But like, I don't want to stop. It's just, I can't physically handle it. And as I've gotten older, I can't believe it. But like when Nick, we used to complain about his stomach after he ate like spicy shit. I was like, grow the fuck up. What are you talking about? And then I realized in the last like year or two, probably, I mean, I guess during pandemic, a Halal Guys opened up in San Francisco. And every once in a while, I'll get that delivered. And I don't know if y'all have had Halal Guys before, but I am a major fan of this. Okay. And their hot sauce is incredible. And I just slather that shit on, have a great time. I'm kind of like you, Joe, where I'm like, I'm eating it. I'm crying, but I'm like, it's so good. And then the next day I'll wake up and I will remember that I had Halal Guys for at least 3 days. And I'm like, it's happened to me. I'm old and I hate this, but I'm going to do it again in a couple weeks. But it is so bad that like I think about it before I order. And I don't like that. I don't want my body to tell me not to eat the things I want to eat.
Here's the thing. I know we all kind of make fun of Kevin when it comes to his, I guess, his lack of discretion when it comes to eating meals.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I'm kind of the same way. Like, I know that that's a problem. That's a problem for Andy in the future to solve. And maybe it'll cause him to miss two shows on Friday. We'll deal with that when we get there, right? But yeah. usually the spice stuff is something that I know that I'm prepped because I have Tums. I've got the chewy Tums and I've got the chalky Tums. A lot of people last time we on the podcast were like, what the hell is a chalky Tum? Chalky Tum is just not the...
It's just a tub that you chew on it. It's like you're eating chalk.
Yeah, it's chalky. It's powdery. It's hard to kind of bite into or whatever. So I got the chalky Tum. I got the chewy Tum. But with both of those, I feel like I'm more than equipped to take on any sort of issues regarding spice or stuff like that. Because like I'm just like Tim. If there's a spicy version, make it spicy.
Tums help with spice?
They help with your post-spice tummy problems.
Yeah.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah, they help with like the heartburn.
Got it.
Honestly, I don't really have stomach issues when it comes to like, oh, I need a shit because I just had spicy stuff. My issues are like heartburn. Just like at night, I'll wake up just burping like, oh my God, what the fuck is happening in my chest right now? And that's where the tums come. That's where the Tums come in.
I'm going to say something very, 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 very real and vulgar. So close your ears if you don't want to hear it for just a real quick second. It's not my tummy that hurts. It is the post effects where my butthole be burning, y'all.
Oh,
that thing be burning. And that's the thing is the Tums helps with the heartburn and all that. I haven't found something to help with that other issue. And it lasts like 3 days. So if anyone has any solutions for me, please let me know. Because I would like to keep indulging in way too much Halal Guys hot sauce. Anyways, that's enough of the nasty stuff. I apologize.
Good right there, Tim. I like that. Mm-hmm. I want to be open and honest with you guys. Because I've never had Tums, Andy. I've never used them, right? And I never saw the point of that. But I guess when you talk about that kind of like burning sensation in your chest and then into your throat when you're laying down, that's what that's for? Because I've battled that probably less than five times in my life, but I've experienced it. I didn't know that's what Tums was for.
Mike?
Yeah.
Yes. The short answer is yes. The long answer is I imagine you're a lot like me when it comes to a lot of things in life, where at the end of the day, we're just scared little boys just hoping for somebody to tell us what to do.
That's right.
You know what I mean? And then when they tell us what to do, we look at that and go, I don't know about that. And then you don't do it for a couple of years until one day you do it. And you're like, I should have listened to them to begin with. Tums is one of those things for me. I'm not a big medicine guy when people are like, oh, you should take this. I don't know why. It's not like I'm against the science or anything. It's just more like, I just feel like it's too much pressure to make decisions, right? Some time ago, I had this issue with the heartburn thing that you're talking about. That, again, I've only had four or five times in my life. But someone's like, just do I think it was Greg Miller. He's like, just try these Tums. And it is undeniably the most instantly effective thing I have ever done in my life. Where it is just like, I feel horrible. I have a Tum. 2 minutes later, it's like nothing happened. It's foolproof for me. Every single time that feeling goes away instantly. And it doesn't come back.
It's got to be the quickest acting medicine, right? Like when we think about you, sometimes you have a headache and even pain relievers won't do anything. Like sometimes it takes a while for them to kick in, but sometimes they just don't work. You know, you ever have those headaches where it's like, all right, I've had four leaves right now. Surely this is the limit. I should not take any more leaves. I am just going to be like this for the next, you know, 12 hours or so. But when I think about having issues with allergies and like a Zyrtec takes a while to kick in, every medicine takes a while, but Tums is like pretty immediate. And then you just lay right back down and you don't got that. It's in the top of my chest and the bottom of my throat feeling. And you burp, you're like, am I going to vomit? Fuck this. It just tastes disgusting. The Tums really get rid of that pretty quickly. Chalky Tums, though, avoid them if you can.
Dude, here's the thing. The chalky
is there
Tums
a difference between the chalky and the chewy?
Well, the chewy just, the chewy don't kind of have this aftertaste that is really unpleasant with a chalky Tums.
I mean, Andy, you're blowing my mind right now because like I thought that my life was changed just with the existence of Tums. I didn't realize there was an option besides chalky. This solves all my problems because I thought it was part of the trade that Tums are going to hook me up and make me feel better instantly. And in return, I have to do a fucking fear factor challenge of eating this whole goddamn thing of chalk.
Yeah. No, the antacid chews, these chewy ones are very like, they're like Spree like kind of, they're candy coated and they're really chewy in the inside. Here, let me break one apart for you. Let me show you the.
Are they like the diagram. Fruity Mentos? Do they taste good?
Yeah, they actually do taste pretty good. This one is cherry and lime. So you can have like a double dose of cherry. You can have double dose of lime or mix it up. Have a little cherry limeade. So that's like that's the inside of the Tums. But they're like, they're candy coated. Yeah, they're squishy. They're squishy. Oh. They hear a little crunch test for the audio that says.
Oh, it's good crunch.
Good amount of crunch.
It tastes sweet. Like
you eat
the taste
these
right
on
now.
The regular or just no. When you know you're going to hit it? You know
I pop about 10 a day. Yeah, just for fun. No, it's just whenever I feel it, like whenever I feel I went overboard on the red pepper with this pizza, that's usually when it is.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I got the extra hot at Volcano Curry and I'm going to be feeling this a bit later. And it's always like, again, 2 a.m, I wake up out of nowhere and just like, oh, I feel like shit. Pop a couple Tums. Go to sleep. Go right back to sleep, Mike.
Is this instant. Something you can take preventatively ahead of time, like Lactaid, or is it just an after thing?
Ooh, I don't think so. I don't think it's something you could take preventatively. But what you can take preventatively ahead of time, some probiotic vitamins. I chew on a couple probiotics. I feel less bloated after a meal. It kind of, I feel like it's, a probiotic vitamin is like the firefighters at the bottom of a burning building where they have the big, like a trampoline sort of thing.
Yeah.
And like it catches the food safely. Like that's how I feel about probiotics and post and pre and midbiotics. Like when the bodies from the buildings are falling, it's like the firefighters and they catch them and like, oh, kitties and children are falling down and they're not dying. It's not a rough hit, you know, they're being absorbed and all those stomach cultures, right? Like, what's the
fucking fuck, Andy?
No, what's her name? Jamie Lee Curtis says it. The cultures.
Oh, the Activia.
Yeah, that Jamie Lee Curtis, because that's like probiotic stuff. Activia is like, you know, pre and post and mid. Jamie and Lee. Like, let me Google Jamie Lee Curtis like probiotics cultures, because cultures is one of those words that has to deal with your stomach that you wouldn't think it does.
Mm-hmm.
So just
what are
like,
these doing? They help me poop.
They
keep everything flowing the way it's supposed to.
They keep your gut health better. You don't feel as bloated after meals. You don't it kind of just keeps you regular. I'm not saying like it's going to help you shit more. It's not like anything like that. It just helps with the stomach cultures. Let me look for cultures.
It helps with those stomach cultures. Well, Andy looks into the stomach culture things. Nick Scarpino normally hosts this when Greg is not available, but Nick is not available either. So here I am. But Nick asked me to make sure that I read one piece of housekeeping verbatim. He said, do not change a single word. So here I am. YouTube.com/kindoffunny. Have you ever thought about subscribing to your very first YouTube channel? Well, Kind of Funny is just the thing for you. Introducing YouTube.com/kindoffunny, where you can see me, Nick Scarpino, every day on such awesome podcasts like the one you're listening to right now. Why not put a face to the name by subscribing to YouTube.com/kindoffunny? While you're at it, buy yourself a snake. They're great.
Useless.
So thanks, Nick. Even when you're not on the show, you're still somehow the most useless part of it. So, yeah. But hey, if you want us to be able to be a lot more useful, your support over at patreon.com/kindoffunny means the world to us. So if you want to get the show ad-free, that's where you got to go. But for everyone else, check out these ads. This episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. I've been using AG1 the last few months because I figured it was well past time I start thinking about vitamins, but I'm usually not the biggest fan of their format. So being able to drink a flavored water is much more up my alley. And I'm a huge fan here of the fact that it doesn't taste super healthy. It kind of has like this mild tropical taste to it that I look forward to every morning. With one delicious scoop of AG1, you're absorbing 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. It's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. It's just one scoop in a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/kindoffunny. This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved only for big businesses to everyone. So upstarts, startups, established businesses, content creators alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. I love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed, from down the street to across the globe. Our content creator friends use Shopify to manage all their merch sales and stuff, and I recently got Gia a pair of Allbirds from the Allbirds website, which also uses Shopify. So that's an example of big websites using Shopify for their sales. You can gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting on conversion rates, profit margins, and to help you supercharge your knowledge of your sales and your success. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial, and you can get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames for a free 14-day trial. shopify.com/kfgames.
Which live cultures are best for your gut health is a question that people are asking on Google. The type of probiotic you're most likely to encounter is called Lactobacillus acidophilus. And experts say it's the most beneficial. Favorite what?
Dinosaur.
Pachycephalosaurus.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, cultures are just a word that has to do. It's like similar to how proving has to do with bread. You wouldn't think it does. But then you watch Great British Bake Off, you're like, wow, didn't know that was a term. Had no idea that was a term.
The only time I've ever heard it used.
Yeah.
Ignacio Rojas writes into patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like you can, and asks, how's it shaking, crew? If you had the opportunity to bring back dinosaurs out of extinction, would you do it? Why or why not? As always, keep being awesome. Andy, let's start with you.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. I don't really... But here's the thing. I feel like the movies are, I feel like the people in the movies are way less safe and they act as if like we don't have gigantic armies that could just stop an invasion if something were really this dangerous, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like if in real life, if we were to make a park, nothing bad would happen. It would just be a tourist destination. I don't like all that. There's always these crazy accidental mishaps and shit like that. Like, I don't believe any of that would happen in a real park. In the same way that like when was the last time a tiger fucking escaped at a zoo and like killed the fucking secretary that from Jurassic World? You know what I mean? Like, that shit just doesn't really happen. And I feel like, you know, at worst, it's something accidentally getting into the gorilla place, or it's something accidentally getting into the lion's den. But that never happens really all too often. So I feel like, yes, we'd bring out dinosaurs, make a zoo, make it an exhibit, make it like the prehistoric fucking section of the zoo, and you're gonna profit, and it's gonna be great. And I'm gonna go watch a dinosaur. I don't really need to see a T-Rex. I think just seeing like a Triceratops would be pretty dope. Have like 7 foot thick glass, you know what I mean? So those horns don't break anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Bring them back.
Joey Noel, are you siding with Andy on this, or?
Kind of. My answer is yes, but it's not that I don't think that all of those like crazy things wouldn't happen. I just think we should do it in spite of those things probably happening.
Wow.
Just because I want to hang out with dinosaurs. I think it'd be fun. I literally saw a video on TikTok this weekend that was like a dog that got into a gorilla enclosure at the zoo. I saw that.
Very scary.
It was very, yeah. And the gorilla was definitely like running towards it, and the people were very freaked out on the video. So Andy talked about there's a lot of like, we have a lot of military or people that would be prepared to help with this. I think that they're prepared to help with like human problems. I don't think they have like the tools to be able to contain dinosaurs.
Guns. Shoot them down. I don't think
an RPG would just explode yeah. and wreck, you know what I mean?
But then don't you think that all of these people that have built this park would be like, please don't blow up this $3 million dinosaur, and then there would be a whole thing.
I guess I'm talking like last resort, desperate measures, Joe. A T-Rex escapes. Like, I don't ever foresee that happening. I feel like, you know, I guess I just think about accidents that happen at theme parks and things like that. And like, they're so rare. If a kid getting his head kicked off at a fucking theme park, like it happens, but it's not like these deaths happen all too often to be worried about the possibility of deaths happening at a dino park.
You guys you're opening my mind to some of this. Mike, I want to hear your thoughts though.
I want to first start off by saying thank you, Ignacio, for asking how I'm doing. I have a very awkward sunburn from wearing a crop top on a boat, and so my belly burns right now. But what? I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Well, we have to see it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah? Yeah, shield your children's eyes.
I can't see it.
We can see a little bit of red.
There it is.
So, like, you know, you're like me. I got a gut, right? So, on the top part of your gut, or just like when you touch your gut, sometimes like it's ice cold. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, mine's so right now really chilly.
My gut, very cold. But then the bottom part, red hot. So, Ignacio, thanks for asking how I'm doing. Tim, back to the dino question. I am on board for the dinos, like Andy and Joey. But I actually thought of the dinos in a different way. I thought of it more as like they are out. They're just a part of nature, right? Like up here, we deal with the bears and the mountain lions. And it's like, what's the difference of a velociraptor as opposed to a mountain lion, right? It's probably going to run away and hide from most people. But like it's lurking in the woods waiting for you. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think I could put up with that and I would like that. And like, what if I get a baby stegosaurus? You know what I mean? That would be cool in the front yard. Or, you know, a lot of people have like goats and like, you know, other kind of like llamas tortoises. And weird creatures. Exactly. I would get those like little mini velociraptors, you know, in the movie that the little kid was. Yeah. I'd get like 6 of those, let them run around my front yard. And like, what are they going to do? They're going to give you a little nip. They're not going to bite off your hand. You know what I mean? So it's like, oh, you go in there, you play with
they're
them.
They're
going to
take down the local livestock is what they're going to do.
Like, so for me,
you have to worry about the environmental impact though, Mike. You have to, like, these bears wouldn't really be, you know, they would not flourish because the raptors are, you know, fucking closing in on their locations.
Like, you have to imagine that these dinosaurs have like evolved with humanity over time. It's not like you're just dropping them all in now, right?
So, I don't know that that's
all of the chain has been figured out.
No,
yeah, I like that, Joey. That's how I see it. Chain.
We're just dropping them in. We're making it like. Andy, would you like dinosaurs to be made? Yeah. Okay. We'll start the production right now. Today, June 20th. And they'll be done by, you know, the earliest mid-July, maybe. And then we'll start growing them.
I think a dinosaur is going to take way longer than at least Tim's couch. I don't think you're gonna get it. Oh my god. In like the next month.
They gotta be
no, but I mean like it'll be born. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, you're right, Joe. You're right.
Yeah. I think that I have to stand against all of you monsters, and I just need to put my foot down and say, no, we've seen six of these movies, and to Andy's point, these characters make a lot of bad decisions, and we get in wild scenarios. I think in real life, those decisions would be 10 times worse and happen 10 times faster. I think we would go from Jurassic Park to Jurassic World Dominion in the matter of 10 months or less, because people are crazy and get these crazy ideas. Now, for those of you that do not know the story of Jurassic World 1, 2, and 3. I am not about to spoil that experience for you, but I will say that you can tell from just the trailers that a core part of it is Owen Wilson. That's not his name. Chris Pratt, who played Owen.
Owen Grady.
Can like kind of teach the raptors kind of and like talk to them a little bit. And
man,
like,
those movies would have been so much better with Owen Wilson.
Wow. Yeah. He kind of like tries to teach them to do things. And then the government's like, yeah, cool. We're going to teach them to be fucking weapons. Now, the one thing that makes me feel a little bit better is that to my knowledge, and I'm going to need someone to correct me if I'm wrong about this, we don't have motherfuckers out there right now trying to teach bears and lions to militarize. So, like, I feel like we might be a little bit safe from the whole dinosaurs as weapons. I mean, I'm definitely not sure.
You know
sure.
what I mean? Like, I thought they were trying to, like, militarize, like, dolphins or something, like, to, like, shoot a laser beam at them.
That was the Russians. Movie. Yeah, the Russians were doing that.
I mean, that could be real life, Tim. Okay, who knows? He's out there.
I don't think that those animals have the mental capacity to learn that. But the velociraptors were, like, the second smartest thing in the park, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. A Russian naval base is defended by dolphins. It's not as unusual as that it sounds. Russia's military is using specially trained dolphins to defend a critical naval base off Crimea, according to analysis published by U.S. Naval Institute News. So it's not too far off. But, like, again, dolphins are not land-running fucking killing machines. Yeah, and that's where I think that those movies get the most outrageous, trying to militarize them. Like, I don't believe that they know how smart these animals are. I don't believe that they, like, unless you got the raptor being like, all right, you want me to do what? All right, cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Like, unless they're talking back to you, you don't know what the fuck these things are thinking. So, like, that's where the movie it jumps the shark from. It jumps the megalodon.
Megalodon, that was good. See, the thing is, though, with Andy, like, I'm often surprised when I look down at my 6-pound Pomeranians and I, like, tell them to do something, and then on the third time I tell them, they do it. Like, that's always, like, really impressive to me. And it's like, we're not, like, actually communicating, but, like, there's something going on. And I'm like, how transferable is that to a velociraptor? You know? I'm not sure.
I don't think it's that. But obviously, you can train dogs, and you can, you know, we see people doing German Shepherd training where they, like, all right, go attack the person now and heal. And person's waiting. And as soon as the dude with the big protective gear attacks, then and that's fine because the German Shepherd is, you know, you can hold it in your arms. Yes. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking velociraptors, we're talking big killing machines that are very fast and very strong and very, like, I just, that's the part that's like, you can't, why are you deserve this. Yeah. You deserve to have, we deserved part three.
yeah, totally.
Well, your dogs have also gone through hundreds, if not thousands of years of domestication mm-hmm. to get to the point that they're at now. So I feel like.
And they're useless. So it's like, I can't even fucking imagine, like, these things that are like trying to teach moose to be militarized. I don't think it's going to happen. I will say I was at the dog park this weekend and a dog walker came, and it was a sight to see, y'all. I'm not sure the legalities of this, because, like, every once in a while at a dog park, I'll look over and at the side, it's like, if you're a licensed dog walker, you're only allowed to have, like, 7 dogs. She definitely had, like, at least 12. Okay? She has so many leashes, all these dogs walking in. And, like, the way the dog park works is, like, there's the main dog park, and then there's this, like, holding area where there's the two gates. Really smart to make sure that, like, dogs don't actually escape just through one of the doors, right? But this woman walks in with 12
don't
dogs
on her, Tim.
In this little, oh, yeah, here I am, snitching on yeah. But yeah, this little holding area, right? And it was the most impressive thing I've ever seen. She goes, heel, sit. And then all the dogs in synchronous decision, like, sit down. It was like, oh, my God. And she was, like, calling them. She opened the door, and she called them one by name and just be like, one, go, two, go, three, go. And they just like start darting in. It was like so impressive. Two of them fucked it up. They fucked it up. And no. I was like, oh no. And they, she was like, no, you stay, you stay. And they were like, okay, I fucked up. I fucked up. Like, I swear to God, they knew that they messed up and they had to wait. They had their turn and then they went in. I was like, this was the most insane thing. And I lean over to Gia. I'm like, Jurassic World is real. Like this is Chris Pratt with the Raptors. Andy Cortez.
I need like I feel like I would like to see how many of these dogs have those the little button pressing things with the vocal.
Oh, like bunny.
Because here's the thing, like whenever I see those, it's cute. It makes me laugh. It's all, you know, the outside now, outside, and they're hitting the little buttons. And it's a floor pattern full of buttons. But, like, we only ever see the end result of it. I want to see the dogs learning that stuff. Because I don't know how that looks. I can't fathom, like, what the training process looks like. We only ever see the success stories also. We only ever see the dogs that are, like, outside, water, water. And, like, oh, you're thirsty. Okay, let's go outside. And like, but we never see the ones that fail, and we never see the real training process of it all. Like, there's a lot of videos on TikTok of actual dogs being trained, which I think is always cool to see, where this dog, you know, hated at people, and now it's like, you know, learning how to, you know, behave and chill out. But it's the button pressing training that I really want to see the process of. I don't believe it's real. I just feel like they're just hitting buttons at this point.
I do think we see enough of those on Instagram as well. And like half of those video Andes are straight up like, you don't know what you're talking about, you stupid dog. Come on. You don't know. You don't know what button you're pressing right now. You don't know.
Damn, they're coming in hot.
I'm just saying, man. A lot of them, like, I think a lot of the owners like record those videos and try to like recontextualize it to make it seem like they're actually trying to have a discussion that makes sense. But a lot of the times it's like, nah, they're just pressing random buttons.
But
Mike,
the ones
do you feel
that
like
do make
conversations
me...
with the pugs.
They know ball. They know turkey. They know outside. For
turkey.
Sure. Like, oh yeah. It's real crazy, Tim. Like my friends will laugh. Cause like sometimes I'll be on speakerphone with like Andy and the boys on Discord, and like Washburn loves to do it. He'll just yell turkey. And these dogs immediately, if they hear even the word, they will stand up and just start running to the refrigerator. And like similar to what Bear's talking about with the button and Andy, right? Of like, if you yell turkey, these two dogs will run right to the refrigerator and start pounding on the door until I open it. So they definitely know what turkey is.
I the only ones that make me laugh a lot that I do believe that, yeah, these dogs know what they're doing is like, there was one where this lady was like up later than usual, and the dog's usually asleep, and so is the lady. Like they're usually both asleep at this time, and the dog's just looking at her like, sleep, sleep. Just fucking looking at her like so angry. And, like the lady's laughing because he's like, oh my God, like I know we're all, I know we have to go to bed. I know. It's like, sleep now, sleep. And it reminds you of the Rick and Morty episode, that first episode where the dog's kind
balls?
Of like the, yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it reminded me of,
dude. I speaking of dogs real quick, and that whole neutering situation, I'm in a really scary place right now, because I got my two dogs, right? Moose and Toretto. They're about a year apart. Where Moose is neutered now, we had to wait a certain amount of time to be able to do that. That's how that works. But there's a problem with these small little Pomeranians where they have, I don't know the science behind it, so what I'm about to say sounds really stupid, but like the hole for their balls to drop through is so small that sometimes they don't go through. So Moose had only one ball drop, so the other ball was stuck up in him. So in order to neuter him, they were like, we're gonna hope that the ball just drops, and if it does, we're totally good.
Like
if
the New Year's ball.
Yeah, exactly. If it doesn't by a certain date, we just have to do a tiny mini surgery, go in there, get the ball out so we can do our thing.
Get that
Which,
ball
like,
out.
Obviously, we didn't want to do, but we ended up having to do that. We're realizing now Toretto's ball has finally dropped, but notice I said ball. So we have a redux situation of where we're at. But I desperately do not want to neuter Toretto, because the moment we neutered Moose, he was a changed dog.
Oh.
It really changed his personality.
Where did you change him from?
It changed him from being this like most fun kind of just goofy little guy to a grumpy old man like that. And Joey knows. Joey saw it all happen.
But I couldn't tell you. I thought part of it was just him getting older. I've also only ever had girl dogs. So this is a new experience for me.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know that it's exactly this, but like me and G, now that it's been a long enough time, we've been able to look back and trace it back and be like, I do think that that had something to do with it for sure. So I'm just worried because right now Toretto is the sweetest angel I have ever met in my life. And I just don't want him to turn, man.
How old was Moose when it happened?
I don't remember the exact stats, but I want to say he was like 10 months old.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably not wrong, but I do think that like dogs do just kind of go through personality changes.
Yeah.
You know, but like to say that, you know, getting neutered would change you your mentality and your attitude, I don't think that's like too far off. I think it probably did have something to do with
also,
it.
Also, like around that time as well is when they're getting old enough that like they kind of want to like. They do definitely go through personality changes. Like that was around the time that we had to kind of like retrain Lulu because she thought she was like, oh, I know all of the training stuff. Like I understand our relationship. So I'm just going to start walking off on my own. Not to run away, but just like I'm big enough that I don't need to listen to you all the time. So then it was like a whole like that's usually around the time that like you're trying to retrain them to be like, no, just because you're older doesn't mean you get to do this shit. The thing with like not neutering, and again, like we have girl dogs, so I think she was already, I forget what the term is.
Spayed.
Yeah, she was already spayed when we had her, because you don't have to wait for the balls to drop or anything. I will say there is definitely, and I know that the Palms aren't really going to the dog parks like a lot with like other big dogs and stuff, but there's definitely like. There's definitely aggression towards dogs that aren't neutered. There's definitely some like weird stuff going on there. And I don't know like what the science is behind that, but there are definitely some like weird attitude stuff between dogs that are neutered and aren't.
Like I'm a free dog and
like
you're
between
not.
The people like judgmental or like
no,
the dogs,
no, like the dogs themselves. Okay. The dogs themselves. There's definitely like we've seen
hormone pheromone thing.
Like a class system.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, dude, having both Moose and Toretto at a dog park, it's so evident. Like they get treated differently by the dogs in like such a bizarre way that is like so clear where it's like, yeah, Toretto's giving off some fucking vibes, man. Keep it in your pants, homie. Come on. But yeah, we'll see how this all goes. But I'm just fingers crossed that it works out better. Not that Moose is bad, but it's like I miss my sweet little angel, and now he's just kind of like a grumpy McGrumperson.
Are you gonna
which
hold
is adorable?
Like, no, are you not gonna do it? Or are you gonna do it no matter what?
We gotta.
You
do
think
it.
So?
We
okay.
Yeah. We have
Tim.
Yes.
What if?
Mm-hmm. What give it to me what right. If? Thank you.
What if these scientists are like, all right, we're getting ready to clone these dinos, and you're like, wait. You have one cloning serum left. Clone my dog at the age that he was cool.
Holy shit.
Like, would you keep that in the case that, like, Moose passed away 10 years from now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, wait. Hold on. In this situation, you're asking
like,
me
Moose
if I could
passes
change
away
my fate,
and you're like,
would I?
Can yeah, like, Moose passes away, and you're like, I have the ability... I have his DNA right here of like the day that I got him. I can resurrect him.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm getting it. Toos is going to be a fucking thing. Yeah. Toos and Toretto. Don't worry about it.
Okay. All right.
Put a lot of thought into this already.
No, I'm just really good at making bad puns quickly. Like, that's the only thing I got going for me.
Is there any parts of like your morality that would feel weird about it? It's like, no, I want more of the thing that I love. I love this person. I want to be with this being more.
Yeah. You're asking like the real serious questions that like I don't want to think about. I just want Moose. So,
yeah, I just want more. I want more of this person
I just
that
want
I love.
More. Yeah.
Didn't Oprah do that? Where she like cloned her dogs?
I thought she cloned sheep. Hold on.
I don't think Oprah cloned sheep. But I'm pretty sure it's her that cloned her dogs.
Has Oprah Winfrey cloned herself? This is an article from 2010.
Herself.
Oh, snap. Oh, watch out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Oprah did clone dogs. I remember this, Joe. I remember this. Barbara Streisand cloned her dog. Miss Violet, Miss Scarlet. Those are their names.
We'd have to do some research, but like, I would like to know the comments of like, was that dog the exact same dog? Did it seem similar? What was
like temperament wise and stuff?
Yeah,
like that?
Just like all that, right? Does it look the exact same, right? Because I'm not looking up Barbara Streisand's clone's dog. I don't know what's up with it, but like, I got questions for that one.
So, yeah. Mike, have you ever had your pugs around a lot of other pugs?
Around a bunch of other pugs? No. We don't have a pug club pug up fest. Here in Tahoe, unfortunately. They have one out in Colorado, so I'm sure mom and dad who currently have the pugs are taking them to a pug club. But no, the most we've gone to is like one pug named Cherokee that we met at the dog park. That's it.
Okay. Because like my whole algorithm is just people that own way too many Pomeranians. So like there'll be videos where they open a gate and there's like 18 of these fuckers that come running out. Hilarious. And like me and G always will look at it and be like, oh, look, like there's a moose. Like moose would be acting like that, whatever. But I wonder if our dogs were actually in the group, like how quickly I'd be able to point them out. And I'm pretty sure it would be very damn quickly. And like, I know that sounds like a stupid thing to say, but like, if you put moose next to a lot of other moose looking dogs, like they look identical. And you're literally just like, okay, which three black dots are my black dots? You know? But like, I swear to God, if you just gave me like 15 seconds of watching him move, I'd be like, oh, I know. That's moose.
Dude, that I'm
moose. You've posted videos and I've been like, that's moose. So I feel like if I can do it, then you're way faster.
I'm always blown away by my nieces, my twin nieces. I still am really bad at telling them apart. I feel like I've gotten better, definitely, and certainly not living there doesn't help. But it would be so funny when I would go down and closer to like when they were born. I'm talking like maybe 8 years ago or so, and my nephew would be like 4 years old, and the girls are six, and he knows them, like he knows that's Alexa and that's Eliza, and he. Like he has no trouble with that, and that would always blow my mind because they look so freaking similar to me. And I know one of them has a mole. Alexa has a mole on her face, so I know that that's kind of like my thing that can help differentiate my nieces. But it'd be so funny because he'd be around them so much, and my parents are really good at it now. And it took a long time for them to be good enough to be able to like. They're not looking at us, but I can tell that that's Alexa, you know, or whatever. Yeah. And like, I am still so terrible at that I'm just always, I just call him like Mija. Or I just go, hey, baby, you know, and that's all I say, you know, unless we're playing a game and I happen to know that, you know, Alexa's Bowser or whatever, like that's easier for me.
You need the cheat codes.
Yeah. When it comes to my, I'm like, I'm so terrible still at it. I don't know how. It was always so funny to me that, I say my nephew was four. There had to have been times when he was like barely learning how to talk that he knew who Alexa and who Eliza was. And that shit was like crazy to me that even took place.
Did you guys grow up with any identical twins?
No. Not identical, but my like high school and college best friends were fraternal, but they looked very, very similar.
Yeah. I mean, you guys, you know this, or at least I've told you before, but James Burke is a twin. I need everyone to know that.
Oh my God, I forgot about this.
James Burke does have a sister who is his twin, which blows my mind. But in addition to that, there were like four sets of twins in my middle school and high school. They went to both of them. And all of them were identical. Like you could not tell the difference.
Identical. Anybody? My Cousin Vinny? Anybody? No. Good fucking movie. You've never seen My Cousin Vinny?
You need Nick for that one.
Oh,
it's pretty good, but I couldn't tell you line for line.
Oh my God.
One day, Andy. But I was always like so impressed because I feel like everyone without fail would be able to identify them by the end. Like end of year one of school, we all just fucking knew. It's like, oh, that's Jennifer. That's Diana. That's Brian. That's Sam. Like just the way that they are. And like, that's just, it's a kind of a cool thing that like, when you're just around people, like I'm sure, Andy, if you were around them all the time, like it's the subtle little movements and changes. Like I'll see on my like Nest cameras or stuff, like the way that I walk when I'm walking outside of my door to my car, and every single time it embarrasses me. I'm like, why do I do that? Like, why is that how I look
like this?
Like, why do I look like this? And but it's like, oh, that's definitely me. Like, I know that that's Tim bitch ass Gettys, you know?
Mike, we haven't really talked much about your Tahoe trip with the boys recently. What sort of shenanigans did you get into? And I saw a boat. I saw a lot of hiking. I saw margs and wine. Give us.
Yeah, I want to know about the fancy place you went to that I think it was Washi sold you out and was like, you showed up in joggers and everyone's judging you.
Yeah. Well, you know, Joey, I was like, we've had 3 full nights of chicken nuggets. Let's go somewhere else. I'm feeling Italian, right? And before we left, Joey, I told him, I said, we only have like 2 places that are Italian and they're both very high class and nice. So dress up, right? And they're like looking at me like, what do you mean by dress up? I was like, just don't wear sweatpants and a gaming jersey. And they're like, all right, that's easy. And then 5 minutes later, I walked out of the house, sweatpants and a gaming jersey. And I said, we're going, right?
Fuck yeah.
We showed up to the first spot. They're like, hey, we're full. So we set up another one. But here's the catch, Joey. Our reservation was 7:15. It's currently 6:00. And I was like, boys, I know you're hungry. We got to go get something. The meal before the meal. So we got chicken nuggets at McDuff's before Italian, of course, right? So now we're smashing nuggets. We show up to the fancy Italian restaurant. There's a bachelorette party. They're dressed to the nines. There's couples who are all dressed up. I'm in sweatpants and joggers, you know what I mean? Looking just real good.
That's a statement, Mike, you know? Like,
yeah, you know, I'm comfy.
I think that shows people that you're there often enough. You live this high-class lifestyle. You don't need to impress anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I'm not there to impress anybody. Would I like to impress the table next to us? Of course. Like, hey, ladies, what's happening? You want to get some drinks? Want to go on the boat? But no, when you wear sweatpants, you're not allowed to talk anymore.
Your 100
you know?
Thieves jersey.
We had some wine. It was playful. You know, it was a light wine.
Playful.
Pinot Grigio. I have never tried that, Joey. But it was a cool white wine. It was good. It was good. I liked it. I liked it.
I love you so much, Mike.
Go-to white wine. You picked a good
really?
One.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I liked that. I liked that. And then
what did you say it was? You said it was understated. I
don't remember.
I'm bringing up a tweet right now. Don't worry.
Though, you know, something like that.
It was
like
Michael Scott says the afterbirth instead of the afterbirth.
Yeah.
Oaky afterbirth.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm bringing it up right here. This is fun. This is flavorful. A little bashful, but it's also like, I'm here.
That's what it tastes like.
You say it and I reminisce about the taste.
Yeah.
So we had a good time. I took them on all the different hikes. Like, they've been here before, so I had to up my game, right? Like, you all know, when you're a tour guide, right, you take them to the easy spots. They've been there. But when you come on the second trip, that means you got to elevate it, right? And for me, I was like, we got to go to the killer spots. So we went up to the abandoned railroad. That was fun. We went down to the potholes. They loved the potholes. That's now a key spot I'll take people to.
Is that the place you got lost?
Yeah, this is a place that I did get lost. This time the trailer was seeable, so that was good.
Oh, good.
We went on the boat, and then we also got addicted to the wheel. And I hit big on the wheel, as many people know. I hit big on the wheel. So the wheel
is... explain this to people that don't know what the fuck you're talking
about. The wheel is the new go-to casino game. We thought it was blackjack, but this trip, it was the wheel. And so the wheel is this gigantic wheel that just spins nonstop, and it has different numbers up there, right? It has 1, 5... 3, 11, 23, and those are the odds, right? If you hit it, it'll pay out 23 to whatever you gambled on. But then it also has the super, which is yellow, and 2 different diamonds. And so the boys were like, hey, Mike, you got to do the wheel. And I was like, you know, I'll take you there, but I'm just going to do blackjack and then leave. I don't gamble much, right? And so I won a bunch on blackjack and roulette. And so right before we left, I was like, I guess I'll try the wheel, boys. You've convinced me, right? And the cool part about some of these casino games is you only have to bet a dollar, which is like a nice thing about it. Don't waste your money. So I put a dollar on super and it hit. And we've been calling it the banana boys. Whenever it hits the banana, we're on it, right? And we're high five and we're making noise. Everybody's jazzed up. And when you hit the super wheel, it goes to the multiplier, right? So then it goes 20, 50, 75, 100, 1,000. And on our first try, on my first try, I hit the 1,000. And so I won $1,000. And I mean,
on a $1 bet.
On a $1 bet. We're screaming in the casino. We're all jazzed up, which then, just like the chicken nuggets, led to us at the wheel every single night for the next 7 nights. Just hoping to ride that high. Now, I'll tell you, after 7 straight nights of it, it only hit the 1,000 once. It just kept hitting 20. But we had a blast. I mean, I walked away up right now. So I'm up on the casino, happy as can be. Paid for the boat, no problems. And
hell yeah, dude.
I like the idea of Mike like getting nuggets 20 times, spinning the wheel 20 times, drinking a bashful Pinot Grigio 20 times, like just constantly going at it. Now, Mike, as far as the wine situation goes, you and I, very similar creatures of habit. You find one thing, you lock onto it, you laser sight on it. It's like, I could try all the other stuff, but what if I don't like them? I know what I like. Is this going to be a go-to for you?
This is definitely in the Rolodex now, Andy. Like when I think about wine, and I'm sure you're similar to me, right? I'm not the biggest wine guy.
Right.
I've had, you know, working in the industry, you think I would be trying more wine, but I never caught to it.
I get a headache so fast.
Exactly. And so Joey will probably tell you, in the wine world, sometimes you find that one bottle at some random restaurant and you're like, this is the best wine I've ever had in my entire life. But then you never find it again. I was on the hunt for some sort of Barbacoa or Barb something and I loved and I could never find it again.
Barbera?
Yes, that's it. The Barbera. This shit definitely was so good. It was unbelievable. And so this time, you know, I take Washi out to a nice dinner. I'm like, Washi, let me buy us a bottle of wine. He's like, no, Mike, I don't want a bottle of wine. I was like, buy a bottle of wine, whatever you want. And so he landed on Pinot Grigio. And so it was good. Will I go back to it? Maybe. I might be a rosé guy now. Might try a little rosé next time. We'll see where the wine world takes me.
Joey, what's the one that you hate, Joe?
I don't like Chardonnay.
Yeah. Chardonnay is a boo-boo. You don't want that. You will be judged in the same way people judge you for getting Pepsi. It's that type of situation.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Now, to keep it simple, and now, Joe, I need you to step in and correct me where I get this wrong, but I think I have it down enough where there are essentially three different types of wines that you guys need to understand. That is the reds, the whites, and the sparklings. As long as you have an understanding of a go-to for each of those, there is no situation you're going to get yourself in trouble. So sparkling, rosé, cool. If you ask for rosé, you're going to be – rosé or champagne. Those are easy enough to remember. You're going to be totally covered. Sparkling is fine. Sparkling is essentially just fucking like bubble juice with alcohol, right? You're done.
Delicious.
On the white and red side, I feel like that's where you get into a little bit more trouble because there's a lot of different options. But the thing is, you don't need to worry about all those options. Just memorize the one on each side that you need to know. And I think the easiest mnemonic device for regular people to just never fail is you stick with either the Cab Sauv or the Sauv Blanc, right?
Yes.
Sauv Blanc, Blanc, like Blanco, which means white in Spanish, right?
Oh, they're going to say like Blanca, the shoe fighter.
That's the white one. So if you want a white, Sauv Blanc. If you want the red, Cab Sauv. If you just remember the Sauv part, you're sitting pretty damn pretty. You'll be able to be in any bar, any restaurant, anything, and you'll be able to look down. If you see those words, you're good to go.
And really what's your name, sir? And you go, standard. Rico Sauv.
That's good.
Cab Sauv. Yeah. And the waiter's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Now, Andy, let me give you an awkward moment here. Okay, so we ordered the bottle of wine. And we got great service. But what they do now, Andy, is they walk up to you with the bottle. He opens it, pours just a little, and he hands it to one person. I fucking hate this. And so now there's the most awkward moment of he wants me to taste this. A, I don't know how to taste. I've only seen it in the movies where they're sniffing it. He's gargling it down, right? And so I'm looking at this guy. He's locked eyes with me. And the whole table is looking at me like, okay, Mike, you're the chosen one, right? So I pick it up. I pretend to know what I'm doing. So I smell it. I look at him. I look at him with a smile.
God, I wish I was there.
Sip a little, and then I go like this. I swish it around. And I go, delicious, my man. This is awkward moment.
When I'm like, so it's mouthwash. Good
well, what am I supposed to tell him? Oh, I hate that wine. Take it back. He's already opened the fucking bottle.
Yeah.
So here's the thing, Mike. Here's the thing that you probably don't know. And honestly, I'd be surprised if Andy knew this.
Oh, I probably don't.
They're not asking you to taste it to see if you like it. That's not what they're doing.
I've never had that happen to me.
Oh, really? That's the most awkward moment.
We gotta do that with Andy then.
Because like they always bring it to the person that's ordering the bottle, and I would assume in most cases Andy's not the one ordering the bottle.
If I go to a place, it'll be like, you know, when I've gone to places with an ex-girlfriend, she's the one who does that thing.
Yeah.
I've never had it happen to me.
So they're not trying to see if you like the taste of the wine. Since the way wines are like corked and shit, the wine can go bad. They're just asking you, did the wine go bad? Yes or no? So they're not asking you to swish it around your mouth. It's not a wine tasting. It's just like that is them checking to make sure that there wasn't like a corkage problem or something. So for you to sit there swishing around, the guy's
I
like,
was giving that man
what
a
the
show
hell are you
Tim.
Doing?
Giving
him
a show, Tim. Mike sticks his finger in and then
a little bashful for my taste.
I wish I was there. That would have been incredible to witness that.
That's that moment where your heart starts to race, Andy, because I'm like, I don't know what this man wants me to do. Because he's locked eyes with me. And he's like 6'6", standing over the table. And I'm looking at him, he's looking at me. I'm like, am I supposed to do something here, bro?
Your heart starts to race. That's incredible.
Oh, you love
this. That sounds like a great weekend. I had one more question for you all, because I was thinking about this recently on a walk. Is there anything in your life that you wanted to be good at and you didn't really have enough patience to try, so you gave up on it? Something difficult, something that you might, that takes a while to learn. I think about just, like there's, I play guitar. I know how to play guitar. I know the basics of, you know, chords and songwriting and stuff like that. But there was a period in my life for about a week where I tried to learn how to do guitar sweeping. And that's the method that a lot of metal guitarists will do, where you do one stroke of the pick up and down on the strings, and as you're doing that, your fingers are fluttering over them. So it's like you're not doing like a da 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 with your pick constantly like hitting the strings. It just do 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 do. You know, it's like you hear it in a lot of metal, in a lot of metal songs and progressive metal and stuff like that. And for about a solid week and a half, I tried to learn this skill, and quickly was like, this is gonna take way longer than I want for me to be good at it, and I don't have the patience for this right now. The same with like Street Fighter 4 and Marvel versus Capcom 3, where I'm in the training room trying to learn the combos. I'm like, I can't fucking get this right now, and I don't think I'm ever gonna get this. So I dropped those. Like, I'm no longer pursuing this as a talent that I want to be good at. What sort of things in your life do you have like that you just said, fuck it, it's not worth it?
I'm right there with you on the music side to an extent, where I love music more than anything. But growing up, it's like I didn't have the means to go to any type of classes or have any type of experience, period. So it wasn't until college that I had even access to this type of shit. And I remember taking a piano class, because like if you learn piano, you can kind of do a lot more with music and just like the way that you think about it with the two hands and all that stuff. It was the only class in college that I did for like a month and a half, and I dropped out, where I was like, I just can't do this. Like I can't wrap my head around it, and it bums me out so supremely, because I want that skill. And I think I just got too old to be able to understand that stuff. And that's so true for a lot of things. Skateboarding, God, if you guys want to see something embarrassing, Tim Getty's on a skateboard. Like, I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't know why I can't do it right. Like, you know, I don't know if you guys have skateboarded before, but like,
yeah,
there's goofy or normal how you stand on a skateboard. Then there's also this thing called Mongo. Mongo means you push with your
front foot
instead of the back. I'm goofy Mongo.
Tim. You're broken. Tim. Your brain's
I don't
broken.
Know what to tell you. Yeah. I can land your a sweet Nick fucking Scarpino. Kickflip.
Yeah. You're Nick Scarpino playing inverted on a PS4. mouse and keyboard. Yeah,
I know, man. I wish it was different. Sorry, Joe. What was yours?
Oh, I have two. Mine, for sure, one of them is guitar. I got a guitar for my 25th birthday. I was deep into my Taylor Swift era. Thought I was just going to be playing fucking songs all the time. Didn't take one lesson. And I was like, fuck, man, this is hard. And I was like, I can, because like I took a bunch of music classes in college because I did choir and you like had to take like a bunch of stuff to be in it. So I was like, I knew how to like read music to play guitar and like tabs and stuff like that, but I just could never figure it out. And I never wanted to like put the work in, like I didn't want to take lessons. I just thought it was going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, I know enough music stuff that I can do this. And that was absolutely not the case.
Yeah, I was shocked at my passion for trying to learn. I think learning guitar as a kid, like in middle, like early high school, I just had such a passion for wanting to learn it. So like I was on my Tabit program all fucking night writing stuff, figuring out like, again, I would download Mega Man songs and see how those songs were constructed and be like, oh, that's how that, that's, this sounds cool because it's doing this in the song. Like, it's changing notes, it's doing harmonizing, you know, guitar notes, and I'm learning like the basics and kind of the ins and outs of it. But I had such a passion and patience for it. And then I tried learning sweeping a decent amount later. I was like, I think I was just maybe too old to try to get really into it. I don't know. What about you, Mike?
I'm very similar to all of you. I have a couple of quick stories. I mean, first one, of course, is Adobe Premiere and Photoshop, right? I think all of us have had that moment, and probably people listening, where you want to learn, you want to have those skills, and then all of a sudden it will come out with a new update or force an update on you and everything moves. And that always broke me. That broke me to the point where I never did it again. But I think of music, a fun one for you is, you know, as a kid, they put you into the different groups. They're like, you know, you can go learn the strings, you can learn percussion, you can learn everything else. And they put me on trombone, and I remember hating trombone, right? To the point where I never played. I just sat there and moved the thing. You know, so I want people to know, that's part of the fifth grade. We needed to do band. Fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, all the way up to eighth grade. And not once did I ever blow into that trombone in those 4 years. All I did was move it. And so on the
You were never called out. You were never called out by this.
Well, that's what we're
You had a terrible music teacher.
So the
then.
Finale of it all was, is the music teacher decided for the final of everything, you were going to go into a room by yourself and he was going to record you playing a certain song so he could then see how much you've grown. Well, he would let you go in with one other person to press the button and do that. So my good friend Victor hummed into the video recorder while I just moved
like
this. And I just did this, right? This man yelled at us for hours saying we're a disgrace to music. Why would we waste his time and our time? Unbelievable that you did that. I did that for 4 years, just doing this, hoping to God it would end. I mean,
4 years?
He deserves so it at that point. Like, he deserves it at that point. That. Because, like, I remember our music instructor, he'd be able to tell, like, when one person in, like a section was out of tune. The fact that you couldn't tell, you weren't even fucking playing, that's on him. That's on him.
The fact that you tried to fake it with someone's voice.
It's incredible. It was a movie.
Oh, my God, Mike.
It was a decision. And so... that was like years of my life where it's like, you know, you see Andy play the guitar, you see others like on the piano. It's like, I wish I had that skill. But I think just like in football, I will never forget in middle school football, our first day of practice was the day that you got assigned a position. That was the day I had to go get my braces. So I showed up the next day. Everybody already had a position. I must have weighed 50 pounds soaking wet. I was like 5'4", you know, and they're like, you're going to be D-line and O-line. And I'll never forget just like this. I never wanted to play football ever again because there was kids that were like 150 pounds. I'll never forget this one kid, right? He had paint all over his helmet, this big old fat kid. And he looked at me and he goes, hit me, boy, hit me. And I was like, I don't want to hit you. Right? So I was just trying to run around him. And this kid yelled at me for an entire football game. And I'll never forget it. So just like band, I didn't get to choose what I wanted to. Would I have liked the trumpet or piano? Maybe the violin. Maybe I would have loved it more. But get stuck with the trombone, and I just hated life. And so, yeah, I just kind of flew by on that
Mike, were you always a – were you a – like, what size bracket were you in growing up? Because you're a tall dude.
Yeah, I would say
medium. Did you hit
small.
A growth spurt at a while? Were you always short, and then you hit a growth spurt or something like that?
Probably freshman year of high school. But, yeah, I was on the medium to smaller size for sure.
Okay.
Wow. Gotcha.
Yeah, medium to smaller size for sure. And then, yeah, I mean, I grew up with some big kids that I'll never forget. But yeah, that sucked. And then one more thing that I hate still to this day is when you get into your like college years, you're going to meet these like hippie friends where maybe they want to play hacky sack, or the new hot thing is frisbee golf. And for us, we have an incredible frisbee golf right outside of the college. It's like 36 holes, a beautiful course. And all my friends, all they ever wanted to do was smoke dope and play frisbee golf. I fucking hate frisbee golf because I just can't get it to come out of my hand right, to where it will go flip a U, it will go into the bushes. And so for the next hour, I'm already getting beat down by the sun, but I'm chasing my frisbee all around that I don't want to chase, you know? And so, yeah, I never played frisbee golf ever since.
That seems like something you would love.
Yeah, that seems.
I'm bummed for you, man.
Like, you seem like such a frisbee golf guy. I don't know. Like, I hate to peg you as that.
Yeah, but if not Mike, then who?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Joey, you had one more.
Oh, yeah. So after I got out of college, like, I went to a really small Christian school. So, like, a bunch of my friends got married right after college. And they asked me to do a lot of their wedding invitations because I have, like, pretty handwriting. And I was like, you know what? A lot of the people are asking me this. I'm going to take, like, an official, like, calligraphy course to do this and make them, like, all pretty and, like, fancy and flourishy and stuff like that. One of the fucking hardest classes I've ever taken in my entire life. And it was just, like, a fun, like, class.
Wow.
Like, it wasn't, like, a school class or anything like that. And I thought because I had good handwriting that it would be easy. Shit is so hard. And I was not expecting that. So I figured out a way to, like, cheese it by just doing it with, like, different thickness of, like, markers and pens and stuff like that.
Did you learn shit from the class that you could be like, all right, I don't know how to do it? Because I feel like Mike bringing up Photoshop, like, I do not, Andy knows this more than anyone here. I do not know what the fuck I'm doing with Photoshop. I know what I want to do. Like, I know how to, like, kind of get there, but I'm like, ugh. And I normally I can find my way to get it 85% of the way there.
Yeah.
But I know I spent an hour longer than I needed to because I did it some roundabout way. But once you learn the techniques, once you learn what you're actually trying to do, you know what's possible. Did you kind of learn random things of like, oh, I could add this flourish to this letter?
Yeah. Like, I still have stuff probably in my closet of like what the letters are supposed to look like and like the process behind like upstrokes are like really thin and downstrokes are really thick. So like you can kind of play with that and figure out how to, you can go back and cheese it. And like, instead of actually using like the really hard to use fancy pens, you can just use markers and make things thinner or thicker. So it looks like calligraphy, even though I just like did it in marker. So that helped, but like to try and actually use those pens with like the bottles of ink and shit like that is so hard and so messy and so expensive. And it's not. I totally thought I was going to be great at it, and I was absolutely not. Well, and now I know why people charge hundreds of dollars to do wedding invitations, like, per piece.
Yeah. Jesus. Well, what a great show this has been. I hope this is not the last time this group gets together to talk about bullshit, because it was a great time. We're about to do the Patreon-exclusive post show for everyone over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. But until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.